Yeah, my hands are small, I know, but they're not yours. They are my own, Matt Wilhelm. Hey, Fontana, I hope you have some Juul dialed up for today.
I can.
Yeah, you should. I have to tell you, yesterday after we went off the air, the Browns announced two roster moves. Number one was, of course, they signed Charlie Whitehurst. We'd have talked about that. We'd alluded to that. It had been alluded to. Charlie Whitehurst, and to make room for Charlie Whitehurst, the team waived linebacker Scooby Wright. They also signed center Austin Ryder, former fifth-round pick in 2015 of the Washington Redskins. They signed him, seventh-round pick in the 2015 draft. He's a center with, obviously, the injury to Cam Irving. To make room for him, they released John Hughes, which... So eyebrows were certainly raised. You and I were doing Browns Countdown when John Hughes was a healthy inactive.
Correct.
In week two, Tyrone Holmes played for him, although a totally different type of player, Tyrone Holmes. But John Hughes there, John Hughes released, and that's going to be, you know, it's going to cost him about $1.5 million in dead money. I also saw $700,000, so I'm not sure which number is exactly correct, but... that's going to cost the Browns a little bit of dead money there to get rid of him. He was a guy that was signed to an extension just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, after 2014, correct?
Yeah.
It's when you text me that, because I was obviously on the Westlake practice field, I was like, wow. And I wonder how much that probably, and I don't know the exact number of days, but it was in excess of 10 days, I want to say, or at least more than a week, when he missed that significant portion of training camp dealing with a personal matter.
And it seems like he just wasn't able to come back from that.
Correct. Wasn't able to come back and catch up, as, you know, he, in some cases, was going against analytics with, you know, a higher cap number. And, you know, I mean, one of the more veteran gentlemen in that room. And... I don't know. And maybe he was just left out, knowing that you're going to get Xavier Cooper, Carl Nassib, Emmanuel Ogba at that point. Significant reps along the defensive line. Danny Shelton, Jamie Meter. He was a guy that we thought would start opposite Dez Bryant at the three technique position. Maybe he became the odd man out.
Yes, perhaps he did. And, you know, they like, and because they're playing more of a four-man line, you know, I think they like Steven Paya and Danny Shelton in the interior a little bit more. They've got, on the outside, Nassib. They've got Emmanuel Ogba and now Tyrone Holmes, who played very well there. Not to mention Xavier Cooper, who I think has moved ahead of John Hughes, and Jamie Meter's ahead of John Hughes.
Yes.
So when you add it up, the four interior linemen ahead of them, they don't need it. They were heavy. We talked about, once they brought Gabe Wright up, that they were very heavy at the defensive line position, and that's the direction that they opted to go. I was a little bit surprised by it. We'll see where he lands. Scooby Wright, for everybody who's upset about that, and I know many people are, Scooby Wright, if he clears waivers, is expected to be brought back to the Browns practice squad, and that could, you'll know that at 4 o'clock today if he was claimed or not. As for the signees, Charlie Whitehurst, Touchdown Jesus, who I've had just the tremendous pleasure of going through his Twitter.
Jesus, not Touchdown Jesus.
I'm calling him Touchdown Jesus here, my friend.
Why?
Because I think if he plays, he's going to throw some touchdowns. He's Clipboard Jesus.
Right.
Touchdown Jesus, I guess, is for Notre Dame.
Did you see the moniker of the the Last Supper with the faces of
Browns quarterbacks?
Browns quarterbacks, no. And Charlie sitting in the middle?
No, I'm glad that I haven't seen that. I'm glad that I haven't seen that. But this guy's Twitter is unreal. The pictures that are there, unreal. Oh, my God, that's tremendous.
Send it to you.
That's, yes, please.
I will send it to Nathan, and Nathan will tweet it out.
I can. Do you think I can tweet that out? I don't know if I'll tweet that out. Why don't you activate Matt Wilhelm 35 and send a tweet out there? Amazing to me, to be perfectly honest. That's what I would say. Amazing. The pictures, the life that he's living. He's dating, as we know, Juul, which is why I've been, you know, listening to a lot of Juul today. It moved me. What a tremendous singer, talented woman she is. I was a huge Juul fan in college. You never got into Juul, I bet.
No.
I also thought Juul was pretty good. I thought she was a pretty good looking girl, Juul. Fontana, what do you think of Juul?
Honestly, I was shocked that, and this is no offense to Charlie Whitehurst, I was shocked that he was that popular enough to, like, be dating Juul.
First of all, Charlie Whitehurst is maybe the most interesting man in the NFL.
I'm just saying when I saw that, I was like one of those celebrity ones where I was just like, very interesting. And then I found out, you know, they met at a concert, and apparently they, you know, really enjoy being around one another. That's great. But as it, you know, Jewel, you'd be like, oh, she's dating Kenny Chesney or something.
So he is unbelievable, by the way. He's considered to be one of the great guests of the Lebatard show. So if you look up the Dan Lebatard show with him there and Google that, there are plenty of times that he comes on. They really enjoyed him. So he's a big guy. And Bob and Millersburg said, is Jewel single? Clipboard, Jesus, Savior. So who will save your soul? So I think tremendous.
Do you guys have a Jewel request? I'm not up on my Jewel, so you're going to have to let me know.
I mean, Jewel's a tremendous. I think if you just YouTube Jewel, the popular songs are going to come up. She's got a lot of hits.
Okay.
She's very talented. And one of the great Howard Stern guests, one of the great Howard Stern interviews of all time, Jewel. Yeah, her story is crazy. At one point, she was like homeless, living in a car, and has made it all the way to where she is today. So very impressive. Good for Charlie Whitehurst. I'm happy that he's here. Clipboard Jesus. Hey, I saw the last time I saw him play. First of all, he's with the Colts. So Pep Hamilton was there last year when he was there with the Colts. Andrew Berry was there last year when he was with the Colts.
Yes, he was.
The last time I personally saw Charlie Whitehurst play live was in Tennessee in 2014. He came in, promptly threw a couple of touchdowns, and then the Browns rallied and made that historic comeback. But he came in and threw a couple good deep balls, one to Justin Hunter, I believe, and the other one. By the way, an official statement, a statement from the Browns on the Josh Gordon situation, which I know is making the rounds about the warrant because he hasn't taken a paternity test. Here's a statement from the Browns spokesperson on Josh Gordon. We are aware of the situation. Josh and his attorney are working with Cuyahoga County Courts to resolve this matter. We have no further comment at this time. Fortunately, this is.
Is there something about nothing? And I'll be honest, and you and I were texting back and forth, and
which is always I enjoy.
Right, and I was in Dick's Sporting Goods just doing some random shopping the other day, and it was just after Scooby and the whole Cody Kessler starting and McCown and RG3, and I just kind of like for the first time ever. And I am not a believer of this type of stuff, is there is some type of curse. For this many things to go wrong consistently, for us to never have nothing to talk about.
We never have nothing to talk about.
Right.
You were right about that.
That's what I mean.
Maybe it's not a curse, but it's a blessing. But it certainly, it seems that this year, which was going to be challenging to begin with all the youth, etc., it does seem that tough times have befallen the Browns. To lose both quarterbacks in 2 weeks, pretty amazing. By the way, the Real BV says that Jewel was great on the Rob Lowe roast. I've heard that as well, and I heard that Charlie Whitehurst was in attendance, so maybe we'll check that out. And apparently Peyton Manning was great in that also. It is kind of surreal to think that in only 2 weeks' time, the Browns have lost both starting quarterbacks, Robert Griffin III, Josh McCown, that they have blown a 20-point lead at home to a division rival, the Ravens. They're the only team in the NFL that has had an extra point blocked and returned for a 2-point conversion this season.
And a guy who is not even actively participating right now on the football field becomes a storyline.
I think that this is much ado about. I'm not paying this any mind.
But it's out there.
Yeah.
And it's discussed. And questions from the local media will be asked.
Well, that's why they put out the statement there. And to me, it's just such a smaller story than Brangelina breaking up that, I mean, I think it's going to be lost very quickly in the tabloid fodder. And the Browns will move on. And, of course, Josh Gordon will move on from it as well. At least it's nothing related to anything, you know, having to do with why he is not playing football right now. So that's good.
How about Dante Moncrief? Fractured shoulder blade out 4 to 6 weeks. Do you have him on your team? You have him on your fantasy team?
Darn it. Yes.
Huh? Yes, he was my 18th round keeper in the Jacuzzi League, where I'm 3-0, I'm rolling, and all of a sudden injuries are destroying my team.
See, that's the other reason why I don't think the Browns are cursed. Like, the Vikings might be cursed. They've had in 22 days, they lost their quarterback, their running back, and now their left tackle.
So, which leads to a lot of speculation. All of a sudden, everybody's throwing out there, are the Vikings going to trade for Joe Thomas? They don't have a 2017 first. We know that.
Right.
So, Are they willing to go without an 18 and a 19 first, or without a 17-2 and an 18-1, so not have a 1 or a 2 next year? I just don't see that happening.
Could you guys just see him packing it in, saying, hey, there's nothing we can do about this season, it's over?
Are they 2-0?
They are 2-0.
They're 2-0. They're fine.
No, they're going for the. They, you don't trade for Sam Bradford and pack it in. You don't give up a first round pick for Sam Bradford and say we're packing it in now because we lost our left tackle.
And they're that good on defense. And I think even, you know, missing their left tackle, they've got some playmakers. Stephon Diggs, you know, has become the playmaker. They're going to go, what, Asiata is going to be the running back.
Ronnie Hillman today.
Ronnie Hillman, but Kyle Rudolph is a good player for them. They're just going to win the way that the Minnesota Vikings win. It's never going to be 35-13 the way the Steelers win football games or the way the Patriots win football games. It's going to be close to the vest, run the football, strategically take your opportunities down the football field and have your playmakers make plays. And that's what they got to do. And honestly, looking at their division, I think it's the Packers and the Vikings. The Bears are garbage. The Lions are the Lions. So it's and at
they
this
have
point
the best
right now
defense in football.
And at this point right now, through two football games, one of those wins happens to be against their division rival and the front runner in their division against the Green Bay Packers. They've got that win already.
Yes, and did you know?
No.
Did you know they currently have the leading receiver in the NFL?
Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs currently leads the NFL with 285 yards receiving. They also, Adrian Peterson, had 50 yards on 31 carries so far. That's it for the season. So it's not like he's been productive.
No.
That's it. So,
and in some cases, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is their franchise quarterback in their future. But in some cases, you can say Sam Bradford may be better and opens up more opportunities for Minnesota than Teddy Bridgewater would because of the games that they play.
Let's just see that all play out before we besmirch the great Theodore, who led them down the field against the Seahawks to win a playoff game. That's all I'm saying. Before we besmirch the great Theodore. But he does have, a stronger arm. And Stephon Diggs
and more experience.
More experiments. Yes, 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 true. They've got Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata. They signed Ronnie Hillman today there. They're certainly not going to throw in the towel. I don't think they could offer something that would make the Browns do that. So, again, we'll see what happens.
And just to talk about Adrian Peterson's injury, because I've had meniscus surgery before. And they said 3 to 4 months for him. So he must have a significant tear.
They said it was like, I read something like the word they described was like a horseshoe or a tear or something, like a U-shaped tear.
Okay. So and in most cases, they'll probably have to remove all of it or only remaining like 20%. Like I have 40% of my meniscus remaining. So it's 60% removed because I had basically a slice down the middle of my meniscus. So what they do is they go in and they cut around that slice and leave you with what's left. So my lateral, I have 40% of my lateral meniscus remaining. 60% is
terrible.
Gone. Yeah.
Sounds awful.
It's just, and the meniscus is basically just a pad in your knee, like a little cushy gel pad in your knee.
I was saying, can't you play without it?
You can play without it. And that's why, you know, if things go well, and that's why it's surprising to me. And that's why, you know, you said it's a horseshoe shape. Why it was odd to me that it was such a long period of time. And basically, I'm talking, I was up walking around in a day, okay? I was not working out probably for maybe a month. But then Adrian Peterson, to get in the shape that Adrian Peterson needs to be to play the way that Adrian Peterson plays the game of football, might be multiple months.
I thought he was done anyway. I'm not going to lie.
Done from a career standpoint?
Yeah, I thought he was done coming in this year. I just thought he was done. I know he led the league in rushing last year. I just think like running backs fall off a cliff, and his style is completely predicated on physicality. I had the opportunity to draft him in a couple fantasy drafts and did not. I just thought he was done. He was on my do not draft under any circumstances list.
I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher.
Well, I think
and the reason why is because of the way the Minnesota Vikings win football games. It's 25 to 30 rushes for Adrian Peterson with a 3.5-yard average with the mindset that you took up with Crow. It's short run, short one, short one. Then Adrian Peterson's going to pop one. You're going to miss that tackle on him. You're going to bounce off his legs and boom, he's gone, you know, for a 75-yard run, an 80-yard run.
The Vikings win by playing, as you talked about, excellent defense. They're currently the 20th ranked offense and passing in the National Football League. But when you look at this team from a defensive standpoint, overall, this is, I think, the best defense in the National Football League. Statistically, they are number 5 trailing the Eagles, who have played the Browns and the Bears, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Seahawks, and that is it. They've been so good, and they're allowing a whopping 15 points per game so far this season. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Still to come in this first hour, Browns wide receiver Terrell Pryor. Hour number two, we will hear from Joe Thomas. And again, I don't expect Joe Thomas to go anywhere. I know that that's kind of the natural speculation that people are trying to come up with. We also have Ken LaVica, ESPN West Palm host, to join CBD and preview the Browns Dolphins. That will be at 2 o'clock in this show. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, and we will get to that when we return.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on the hook outside your door. Just an old eyesore.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl here in Berea. Still to come, Terrell Pryor. We'll hear some sound from the Browns wide receiver, but now let's go to the phones. We've got Zach in Strongsville with us. Zach, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm just calling. I'm listening to you guys on the way home from work, and how unfortunate it is. I mean, everything is going wrong. Everything. I just got the update on my phone about Gordon, and the Browns, I don't know. What do they not? Is there something going on with the team's discipline? I mean, you look at the Patriots, they got guys stepping up into roles and performing well. Is it discipline?
No, I don't think it's this one, and I think this Josh Gordon thing is much ado about nothing. Now, the Patriots had some issues off the field with Chandler Jones last year, and I remember they shipped him off to Arizona in the offseason. He's having a good season right now for the Arizona Cardinals. The Browns have gotten some bad breaks. They're a very young team. They're inexperienced. Again, if this was issue with Josh Gordon was something about what he was having problems with before, I would like probably be crying and freaking out. This is it's not we don't know what the whole story is, but I'm sure it will be resolved quickly by Josh Gordon and the Browns. That I'm not too worried about.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that it's one of those things where things are not going well on the football field or within this organization. It's just one more thing to pile on. Whether it's an issue or not, people naturally accentuate issues like this to make them bigger than they really are.
Correct. Correct. All right, let's go to Kevin in Columbus now. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Matt?
How you doing,
Nate?
Man?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, just want to talk about a few things. One of them being which Cody Kessler comes out of USC, which is a highly capable offense. And what is it that Hugh Jackson needs to do to help protect Cody Kessler in this week's game? And what protection calls does he need to instill upon Cody Kessler in order to stay safe this week and get the ball downfield? Matt, Nate, help me out here.
Well, I'm
a struggling Browns fan.
Sure, absolutely. And John Greco is now going to go to center.
Yep.
And I think, John Greco is going to be in control for the most part in protections.
Yes.
So he's going to be turning the protection, manning the protection, calling out the mic, so on and so forth, allowing them to block these guys up on the front side. So if there's mistakes that are made, that should fall on John Greco in the offensive line, not so much
right.
Cody Kessler now. I don't know
right.
if that was so much the fact with RG3 or Josh McCown, as they should
like
understand
move,
the blocking schemes as well as the offensive linemen, but the game plan, as we talked about the last 2 days, is going to be a lot of quick, I'd say, throws behind the line of scrimmage to your playmakers,
right,
allowing them to
right.
make guys miss, get blockers out in front of them, screens, bubble screens, now passes, slants, drag slants. Get the ball to your playmakers in the 3 to 7 yard zone and let the yak yards turn into chunk plays. Coleman in space, Hawkins in space, Barnage in space. Allow them, the opportunities. And that's where, As you dive in and understand what Miami does, you script your game plan for success in those windows to your playmakers.
Yeah, you're going to have to bleed them down the field with quick hitters. You're going to have the ground game going. Isaiah Crowell, currently the third leading rusher in the National Football League. You're going to need a lot more from him. You're going to need Duke Johnson both running and receiving out of the backfield. And then the way that I think they'll get vertical, they might just throw a couple just to kind of make the defense think about it. But I think the way the Browns run vertical routes in this game will be after getting them on some slants, getting them on some hitches, you'll see a sluggo or you'll see a stop and go on the outside. Because those double moves, something the Browns have been very effective with. Corey Coleman's had good success with them. so far in his young career. That's how I think you'll see the Browns try to create those vertical opportunities down the field, because when you look at this Miami Dolphins team and you look at the defense that the Browns are going to have to contend with, they are very good up front. They can get to the quarterback. They've already basically hurt Russell Wilson, gave him a high ankle sprain in week one. They knocked Jimmy Garoppolo clean out of that game. The ball coming out of Cody Kessler's hands is going to be of critical importance in this game. He must get it out, and he must get it out quickly. And if he is able to do that, then you've got some kind of a chance, because it will be predicated much more, though. Right now, interesting stats for everybody out there, courtesy of our good friends at Pro Football Focus. You ready? Number one, the quarterbacks in the National Football League that are 1 and 2 in air yards per attempt, so that's the air yards per throw, are RG3 and Josh McCown. That's not going to work with Cody Kessler.
No,
I think we all know that, and that's okay. That's not going to work with Cody Kessler. But what is going to work with Cody Kessler is getting the ball out quickly. And why do I say that? Well, let's look at the preseason for the Cleveland Football Browns. For in the preseason, when you look at the time to throw for these guys, and by the way, both Josh McCown and RG3 were well over 2.5 seconds in the preseason this year. In your time to attempt, you've got, in the preseason, McCown was your quickest, 2.47. Your best was second best was Cody Kessler, 2.4 seconds. Kessler's completion percentage and quarterback rating when getting the ball out in less than 2.5 seconds, his completion percentage was 70%. That was the best of all the Browns quarterbacks in the preseason. His quarterback rating when it gets out in less than 2.5 seconds, 95. That was the best of all Browns quarterbacks in the preseason. Now, his quarterback rating when trying to throw the football down the field and taking more than 2.6 seconds, he led to a lot of sacks. His quarterback rating was down. His completion percentage was down. But Cody Kessler is at his best when he's in rhythm and getting the ball out early. And that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to set up rhythm throws for him in the short passing game. And the way that they're going to stress this defense then would be getting them to jump that slant and having that be a slant and go, and you pick up a big play that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think right now you're going to have to lull those defensive backs of the Miami Dolphins to sleep by, as you mentioned, quick hitter, quick hitter, quick hitter. You work the intermediate, and then it's boom, you take that shot down the field.
Yes. And for those of you who are, you know, a lot of the Carson Wentz talk, and obviously, you know, we're willing to talk about it whenever, and we know that he looks very, very good through 2 weeks. Sage Rosenfeld's former quarterback tweeted out that, one, he's good, he's got all the tools, which what everybody thought, he was a project who had all the tools. He said his head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback coach, all former quarterbacks, all have called plays in the NFL, and we know from talking to Flip and my relationship with John DeFilippo that they are all working together on the game plan, and they love what they're doing there. No egos, they're all working together. Now, the Rams don't have that environment for a quarterback, but the Browns do.
Yes, they do.
The Browns do with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton. The Browns have that, and even Al Saunders. The Browns have that environment
and Kirby Wilson
for a young quarterback. And so hopefully, you know, next year, because they can't draft one right now, but next year, fully expect the Browns to come out with one, and hopefully he can come out and have some early success for this football team as well. 216-578-0850. And one of the people weighing in on why the Browns didn't take a quarterback was Herm Edwards. Here's what Herm Edwards had to say about it.
Historically, 10 seasons, 16 quarterbacks, 5 general managers, 5 head coaches, drafted 3 quarterbacks in the first round the last 10 years. They were a little bit nervous about drafting a quarterback this year.
Yep.
And that's the problem. You get nervous on mistakes that other people have made in the past.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think Sashi and Paul DePodesta, they and Hugh Jackson, they all liked Goff. Goff was off the board. They didn't like Wentz, and they may very well be wrong about that. But I also would rather have them do that than start drafting quarterbacks that they don't believe in and try to get it that way.
Yeah, and I think what you have to understand is the decision makers, and ultimately Sashi has the final say.
And by the way, there's no general manager in the NFL that is always 100% correct on any position.
Right.
Bill Belichick's regarded as the greatest general manager because he generates more swings at the plate for himself than anybody, but he hasn't always been correct.
No, and his late round, and I would say Bill Belichick's been more spot on in rounds 4 through 7
yes.
than he has 1, 2, or 3.
Yes. They drafted tons of receivers, Rozai Dowling, tons of corners who have all flamed out.
Right.
Malcolm Butler was a 6th-round pick, and he's turned out to be their best corner.
Correct.
So to your point.
Yes.
But go ahead. Yes.
No, I'm just saying it's... When Sashi Brown turns in a card, that is a, you know, conglomeration of Hugh Jackson input, Ray Horton input, Pep Hamilton input, Andrew Berry input, Paul DePodesta input, you know, Sags input, as these, like, there's a number of reports that end up on the desk of Sashi Brown that are fully evaluated. And I would imagine, unless he has a hunch, it is what we do is the consensus of everybody within this organization, not just solely on what he believes he wants to do.
I totally, totally agree with this. By the way, Ian Rappaport reporting that Arian Foster, who is not at practice today, is viewed as a long shot to play Sunday against the Browns. Chance he plays in 2 weeks, though, so he is expected to be out this week for the Browns. 216-578-0850. When we come back, we'll hear from Terrell Pryor, the Browns wide receiver.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Hey, don't forget to tweet us your questions at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, using the hashtag AskCBD, and we'll get into the Browns mailbag throughout this show. 216-578-0850. Again, that's the way to call us up as well. And don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock, we will have Ken LaVica, ESPN West Palm Beach host, to join us and preview the Browns Dolphins. We also will have at 2:30 Joe Thomas with us on the show today. So that's all coming up. But now let's hear from Browns wide receiver Terrell Pryor.
How confident are you that Cody can get up to speed and be successful in his first start?
Obviously, it's Cody's, you know, his first time, you know, starting in the league, and you know, I have confidence in him because the guys preparing him, Hugh Jackson, Pep, Al Saunders, I have full faith and trust in those guys, so I know, you know, they're going to have him up to speed. Is there going to be things that aren't going to go well, and we got to prepare? Yeah, I mean, it's football. And things happen over a course of a game, and whether we like it or not. But absolutely, I have faith in him, especially because of the guys we have getting him ready.
Just to ask you this, those of us have been around a while have seen receivers who had played quarterback in the past chip in certain games when they were needed.
Yeah.
Would you be happy to do that? Would you, is there a possibility we could see some different things?
Right now, I'm starting at Z. I'll be starting at receiver. But you know what? For this city, for the coaching staff that worked their butts off, and my teammates, I'll do anything for us to win. Anything. Cut my finger off. Do whatever I gotta do. That's because I want to win. You know, I really want to win. And last week was devastating. So we get that taste. But we got a lot of positivity and positive things out of that last week. Things we can do different, you know, and I wouldn't let down this field, man. I want to win. I'm all about winning, competing, and for me, that's what this is about for me, you know. And that's it.
Can you recall when you know, back in Oakland, your first start at quarterback?
Yeah.
What that was like for you? Because I was, of course, going to have a similar experience.
The game's fast. It's just fast. You know, that the game I played against, I was going against those guys like Quentin Jammer, Eric Weddle, Keo Spikes, a couple other guys, rushing guys on the end, you know. So there's pretty good defense. I believe they're one of the top in the AFC West at the time. They're battling with the Broncos, I believe. And it's going to be fast for him, obviously, but that's why in practice, when we go out there, myself, Corey, all the receivers, the line, we have to play at a fast tempo, get in and out of the huddle fast in practice so we could just make it as game-like as possible. And that's all we can really do and go from there. But, you know, like I said before, we got Coach Hugh, which I – you know, as a coach, just love him as a coach and as a person, obviously, too. But him, Pep, and Coach Al Saunders, you know, those, and a running backs coach, and those guys work their butts off. And I have faith in them, total faith in them, and they'll have Cody ready.
Is there Will you offer him any advice, or will you offer him any advice?
You know what? You guys heard that speech from Josh McCown. He just has to talk to that guy. Talk about, I almost had like a man tear come out when I saw that, man, because I love Josh, man. I mean, we spend a lot of time together, talk a lot, and I mean, sheesh, man. So all you gotta do is talk to him. You know, Josh is, he's a great teammate. He's gonna be, him and RG3, they're gonna make sure, and we got Charlie in now too, so they're gonna make sure, you know, they're gonna give him everything he needs to know, help him out. But it's gonna be different when we get on the field, and if anything gets out of hand, you know, sometimes or mistakes happen, we just gotta calm them down, get them back down, and like, you know, you're here, this is why you're here, this is why we drafted you, and just continue to put that faith in him, you know, the reason why he's here. We have faith in him. He did a great job in the walkthrough today. So we have faith.
One of the philosophies.
What challenges do you guys face, you know, three different quarterbacks, three different weeks, trying to find some continuity?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, like Coach Hugh says all the time, next man up, you know, and there's a lot of teams going through the league, you know. There's a lot of teams that are, you know, they're losing their starting quarterbacks, and they have to have guys come in, and it's just, that's why we get paid, you know, and to do what we do, you know, go play football, and no matter what the circumstances are, we have to have faith in the next guy. The offensive line, I mean, we lost our center. We got Greco going to center, you know, and he's played it before, but I mean, that's a beautiful thing about football is that, you know, guys, and especially the Browns, I'm proud of my teammates, because guys are willing to do whatever to win. And it may not look like that, you know, because our record right now, but I can assure you we're going to get there, and because we work hard. And all I know from working hard is success. And we failed twice this year. It's time to get on the other end, no matter what the circumstances are. We have no excuses. We're going to Miami to win. And I'm going to battle my butt off and compete my butt off when we get down there.
Typically with a situation like this, the philosophy is for the quarterback going against a front like Miami has, get the ball out quick.
Yeah.
What challenges does that present to you and Corey and the rest of the receivers to give Cody a good target as quickly as possible so he can get rid of that football?
We're going to have to work their corners. They got a rookie corner down there, number 25, don't really know his name. Maxwell Byron, they got there. He got a great safety. Great safety, number 20. He's awesome, and 24. So, I mean, their front four is awesome. I mean, I don't know if you could get any better than that, you know, the front four. So we got our hands full, but that's the beautiful thing about the league and the NFL is that every week it's a new challenge. We have to drop off what happened last week and start game planning and get ready for this team that we're about to play on Sunday because we're have our hands full. We know that, but can we win? Yes, but we could lose too if we don't prepare right now and win today, tomorrow, and every day until we get up to Sunday. And I'm very optimistic and believe that we can get it done.
From your perspective as a longtime quarterback, when you look at Kessler, what are the traits that you see that make him who he is?
Last night I was in here. First thing, you know, and it's the want. It's the want to be great. You know, you got to have that fire and that competitive spirit. And it's not all on the field, you know, like Josh, you know, he's getting hit all those times, he's getting smashed and getting up and staying in the game. That's one unique thing that you have to have characteristic. But also, I mean, today, last night, I came in last night and I was here until about 6:37 in the cool tub, you know, doing my thing. I like being around here. And he was in there watching film, you know, and when I went in there to talk to him, he's like, hey, man, they do this here, you know, be ready for this. And he started giving me little tips and I started filling him out on the things that I saw and then, he has ideas, giving ideas to coaches. I mean, that's his mind, and he's expanding his horizon and really giving other things to coaches that what he sees from a standpoint. So he's doing his hardest and working his hardest on the mental part. You know? So that's awesome to see that. It may be even slow for him when he gets in there because he's preparing so well. So we're all looking forward to it, and we have faith and believe in him.
How encouraging was it to see Corey Coleman be
awesome. I mean, that's big time. I mean, the safety was rolled over top of me, and that's what we needed. We needed that so the safeties can just play in the middle. You know, and hopefully myself and him will get some big plays this week and continue that. But that's first round pick. We did a great job picking him. He's a great player.
Did you see him get down at all coming off the hamstring? He struggled a little bit at the end of the season.
Corey, I know in college, I know in his past, he battled hamstring issues and stuff like that. So I thought he did an awesome job. I mean, it's different when you're a rookie, you know, coming in and you have to learn really how to take care of your body, you know, because it's a lot different running and practicing in Baylor or any college and then coming here and practicing with Hugh Jackson. I mean, it's fast paced, everything. We throw the ball down the field. So, and he's one of our main targets, obviously. So he's going to be running a lot. So he just has to, and I had a lot of talks with him about how to prepare and how to work on your body after practice and how you have to stay here for 2 extra hours, you know, just to do little things that get boring, but it's good for you, you know, and it's going to help the team because you're going to be available. And we all know being available is the most important thing when you're playing in the league. So I'm proud of the kid and look forward to seeing what he does this week.
Have you received any explanation that would bring clarity or sense to that flag?
You know what? I'll tell you this. Did some people not like it? I didn't like the call. A lot of people didn't like it, but the refs have a hard job, you know. They're just like our job's hard, the refs' job's hard. So what he saw coming from behind, he saw a ball hit their player, and that's all he saw. So he's going off his reaction, and really if he saw that, he did the right job. You know, I can't really get down on him and say that, you know, but the guy next to me, I was really trying to throw it to the ref. It slipped out of my hand, but it is whatever. It's over with, and he's doing his job. He has a hard enough job anyway. You know, we all beg for calls all game long anyway. So I was mad after the game, but when you come and realize, you know, that he's human, I'm human. We make mistakes, whatever.
You didn't say anything.
I'm ready to make a play on Sunday versus Miami.
Did you say anything at all?
I'm ready to make a play on Sunday versus Miami. That's it. Like, I'm. Ravens game's over. I can't do anything about it. We could have won the game, yes, but it's over.
Next time
we can't do it, and we're trying to get to the future, and the future is now.
You hand the ball to the ref the next time, like, to the little
you know, I'm exaggerating it this time. I'll give you guys a giggle, you know. But it's what it is, man. I can't control it, and let's get to the next one. Let's make another play, and whatever, I'll do a different celebration. It's fun and exciting out there, so I can't. I definitely didn't mean to hit the guy. I don't believe in taunting like that. And now, do I talk? You know, do I talk trash and stuff? Yeah, I mean, it's ball. You know, we're in there. It's a fight. You know, it's a physical game. And but I don't. I didn't talk trash on that play, but I mean, within the game and stuff, like, you know, just battling and competing. You know, guys talk back and forth or whatever. But I didn't do anything, but, you know, just tried to toss the ball, and that's it.
Thanks, Kelly.
In preseason, there are a couple of cases, I think even in the first game, where you're pretty physical going up for a ball. Uh-huh. Learned to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, where did you learn to do that? You weren't running routes until.
I think it's just me wanting the ball more than the other guy, you know, and help us win, you know, and really, I'm telling you guys, man, like, My competitive spirit is, like, through the roof. Like, I was texting coaches last night. They were probably annoyed with me. I wanted to play to study because I need football, man. Like, when I was out on the street, when I wasn't playing, like, that was the hardest thing for me because this is all I breathe and love, you know. And this is something that, you know, I take it personal. You know, I love to compete, you know, against another man, you know, for another guy trying to stop you. And it's something about it that it takes grit, it takes competing at a high level, and it takes, I can't even explain it, man. I just love it, and I'm going to make those plays all year long. You give me a chance, you put the ball by me, I'm going to make the play. And that's just my mindset, and that's what we're going to get done.
We have some news on the Josh Gordon, or an update, I guess, NFL spokesperson saying that it will not affect his status. He will return in Week 5 as expected. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And we can take your phone calls. We'll also go into the mailbag here. Still to come, a Dolphins preview at 2 o'clock. Joe Thomas at 2:30. Call us up. CBD. Welcome back to CBD, wrapping up here our first hour of today's show. The Browns get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins. Cody Kessler, your quarterback. John Greco, now your center. Alvin Bailey in at right guard for this Browns team. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the stats. Who would have ever thunk that the Browns, after a couple of games this season, that the Browns would have the third leading rusher in the NFL in Isaiah Crowell, that the Browns would be averaging 6 yards a carry rushing the football, second best in the NFL.
What are we against the run on defense?
Not bad.
No. I know. Well, like, exactly where are we?
I'm pulling it up right now. And just that, you know, this team is it's doing things in areas you probably wouldn't expect it to do well in, but it is not doing well in other areas, which obviously, most importantly, the record. But they're giving up just 3.6 yards per carry. They're averaging more yards per play than they are giving up, which also surprised me, if I'm being perfectly honest about it. And it there are some interesting things that come out here in the statistics for the Cleveland Browns. So where are they in rush defense, you wanted to know?
I did.
All right. Rush defense for the Cleveland Browns currently is?
I'm going to say 13th.
17th at 106.5 yards per game. However, they are seeing 30 attempts per game, which is the seventh most in the league. They are giving up on those attempts just 3.6 yards per carry, which is the ninth best figure in the league. And that's what we were worried about. Now, the problem goes, see, this is where the team is struggling, and this is where it's starting to get a little bit concerning. On the pass defense for the Cleveland Browns, the Browns are giving up 290 yards per game. That is the 14th worst in the NFL. They're giving up 12.3 yards per attempt. The Browns have given up already 8 passes of more than 20 yards on the season, and they've given up 4 passing touchdowns. Now, 4 doesn't seem like a lot. It's been exactly 2 a game. They've given up now 2 or more passing touchdowns in 6 straight games, and I believe it's now 11 of the last 12.
Yeah, and that's a bit alarming, and I think even just diving into the Ravens game again, going back, and you look at the 2 passing touchdowns that the Ravens did have, I would say, without understanding exactly what defense that we were playing, that is on us. That is on an individual. I think Joe Hayden opening the gate and allowing that slant so easily to cut in front of him, that's a tough play for any corner. That's a tough play for Joe Hayden 2013 as it is for Joe Hayden 2016 or Patrick Peterson or Darrell Revis. When you're playing outside technique and you've got no help, no body position from a linebacker or a safety inside of you, and you open the gate, of course he's going to cross your face. That's like playing favoring LeBron's right hand and he crosses over left. He can go left too, right?
Yes.
And then the other side, we've talked about it in detail for the last 2 days, Jamar Taylor and what technique he was playing, anticipating a route, and I think Mike Wallace could have broken off that route and just stayed vertical with him facing inside. It was like, I don't know what it was.
I don't know what
But
happened.
Those are on us.
Yep.
Those are on us.
Yes, they are on the Cleveland Browns. It's something that they are going to have to improve going forward. The Browns, middle of the pack, as I said, giving up 5.5 yards per play on defense. Offensively, the Browns, surprisingly, as I told you earlier, lead the league in air yards per attempt, which means they are throwing the football down the field more than any team in the National Football League. That, by the way, is going to have to change with Cody Kessler. As we talked about it earlier, they're going to have to get the ball out quickly. The Browns averaging 6.2 yards per play on offense, sixth best in the National Football
League. And what is something that you've put a lot of emphasis on when it comes to RG3 throughout the preseason, what did Josh McCown and RG3 in games 1 and 2 deliver the football?
Their timing. Both were over. Here, I'll tell you right now. Both were over 2.5 seconds. I know that. RG3 was 2.86 seconds.
Okay.
And Josh McCown was 2.8 seconds. For McCown, when McCown got the ball out in 2.5 or less, he was 12 of 17 with a quarterback rating of 114. When McCown got the ball out in 2.6 or more, he was just 8 of 16 with a quarterback rating of 57.6 and took 3 sacks. The key is going to be to get that ball out quickly. If they can do that with Kessler, that's where he was at his best in college. He led all collegiate quarterbacks. Our guy John Costco from Pro Football Focus told us when the ball was out in 2.5 seconds or less, he had the highest quarterback rating in all college football last year. He had the highest quarterback rating of many of the Browns quarterbacks in the preseason at that time. He's going to have to do that,
in
this game.
And that's where, as I talked about in detail, and we heard, of course, the hype center around Carson Wentz, is the amount of time that he studies. And I think that's where the onus falls on Cody Kessler to understand it, Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton to be watching that film with Cody Kessler. And I think the anticipation of what the Dolphins are going to be in defensively and where what are the two reads that Cody Kessler is going to have to throw to? Or what are, and also figuring out what are the tells of the Miami Dolphins? Is it a safety at 8 yards and one at 11, knowing they're going to roll to some type of cover three? Is it both of them flat-footed at 12? Is it going to be some type of two-man or two-deep? Those are the types of things that we need to, that sometimes you gloss over, knowing that RG3 or Josh McCown will put in the time and have seen many times over that Cody Kessler has not. Right. And so you have to be there right by his side, literally pausing the film, showing him the difference between one and the next and the next and the next, and burning that look into his brain so that when he has the opportunity to go out there, it's like clockwork. And I know it's not going to be clockwork in his first start in the NFL, but the recognition is going to be there. Okay, it's this. These are my two reads. You know, and my safety is Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, or Barnage running these routes. So if I go 1-2, I go come right back to quick three and don't get sacked, don't take a sack, don't throw a bad pick.
Yeah, and that's the danger right there. You do not want to throw a bad pick. So where do you attack this team? The Dolphins giving up the second most rushing yards per game at 136.5. Now, to be fair to them, nobody has seen more rush attempts against them, 35. They're only giving up 3.9 yards per carry. They've only allowed one run of more than 20 yards on the season. But this is going to be where you're going to have to attack them on the ground with Isaiah Crowell, the third leading rusher in the National Football League, and Duke Johnson. I think you need to see more Duke Johnson as well, not only running, but also at receiving the ball out of the backfield, those long handoffs as that were the extensions of the ground game. To talk about this matchup when we come back, we'll be joined by somebody down there in Miami. We'll be joined by Ken Lavica from ESPN West Palm to host, and he will go ahead and join us and preview the Browns and the Dolphins at 2 o'clock. That's coming up right after this.